Welcome to Souls Harbor Church. We're glad you're here. You can also join us in person at 2601 North Meridian in Wichita, Kansas. We have services at 10 a.m. and 5 p.m. on Sundays and 7 p.m. on Wednesday nights. We are a place of grace and a Bible-believing Pentecostal church where everyone is welcome to come and experience God. On behalf of Pastor Clark and all of us at Souls Harbor, I invite you to come and worship the Lord with us. I know you'll be blessed. Now let's join the service.
I tell you, following that message this morning is going to be hard to do. That was wonderful. What we needed. Maybe not wonderful. Maybe it was a little hard on the conscience, maybe. But it was good. It was what we needed. Amen. God is good. And you know, I believe God is here all the time. I believe He's here. I know the message was, but I believe He's here. But yet, we don't take advantage of Him being here. We just don't do it. Do we? No. How many of you grew up on a farm, lived on a farm? Quite a few of you. What is the one thing that you needed in the farm from nature? Rain. Without rain, your farm would not be any good. Without rain, you would not raise crops. So God sends the former rain and the latter rain. Father, I thank You for Your message. I pray, God, that You would bless it tonight. Keep Your hand upon us in the name of Christ. Amen, amen. I remember when I was a kid, it would rain and it smelled so good. Get out on the porch and you could smell the dust as it settled and the rain was in it. And then I couldn't help it. I'm a barefoot boy. I'd jump out and run out in those mud puddles and just get all messy. And then I'd try to come back in the house and my mom would say, "Son, you get back out there and wash them feet off." Rain's a wonderful thing. It's a good thing. The source of blessings, meaning the rain, comes from God, not from man. There's nothing we can do, you and I, to cause it to rain except to pray. Oh, I know they seed the clouds, and I know it causes a little bit of rain, but just a little bit. It does not cause the rains that God sends upon this world. Everyone knows the earth needs showers to bring life, but everyone ought to know that it's God who gives those showers. It's God that provides the rain. We read in Zechariah 10 and 1. Zechariah wrote, he said, "Ask ye of the Lord rain in the time of the latter rain. So the Lord shall make bright clouds and give them showers of rain to everyone grass in the field." Latter rain. What in the world is latter rain? Well, in the natural, we get our rains in the spring. I think I'm a little bit loud, brother. I'm echoing on myself. In the natural, we get our rains in the spring. And in April and May, it rains and rains and rains. And we hope that it'll quit pretty soon. But it causes the trees to grow and the flowers to bloom and the grass to grow. And it just makes everything so pretty. If you've ever driven through the Flint Hills in the spring, you know, they burn that off and it's all black, and suddenly the rains come and then it's bright green. It's so beautiful. It's the prettiest place, I think, in the United States. I've seen the mountains. I grew up in the mountains. I've seen the ocean. But those Flint Hills out there, they're just gorgeous because of the rains. Because of the rains. Because of the rains. Jesus said, "Tarry until ye be endued with power from on high." He said, "You shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And you'll be witness unto me unto Judea and Samaria and the othermost parts of the world." If we tarry for the Lord, if we seek His face, we can receive the Holy Spirit of God, the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Oh, now, Brother Leonard, don't start preaching about it. I'm going to preach about that as long as I live. Because I want to tell you, Jesus said, "You shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And it came on the day of Pentecost, Acts chapter 2. When the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all in one accord. And suddenly, there was a sound of a mighty rushing wind, and tongues of fire rested on each one of them. And they began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. The people thought they were drunk. Peter said, no, they're not, but this is that which was spoken of by the prophet Joel. The Holy Spirit had come. This was the rain that God sent, the spiritual rain that God sent upon the church at that time, so that the church began to grow. The church did not take off until the day of Pentecost took place. And the people were endued with power from on high, and they began to go out into the world. They began to preach the gospel, and the church spread throughout the known world at that time because of the rain of the Holy Spirit upon the church. But over the years, it kind of died down until about the early 1900s, around 1903, somewhere in there, in Topeka, Kansas. There was a man that was teaching a Bible class in Topeka, and he had to go on a trip, but he told his students, he said, I want you to study on tongues, on speaking in tongues and the Holy Spirit. And they began to do that, and suddenly one of them received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And then another one, and then another one. And so when the man came back, his class was on fire with the baptism of the Holy Spirit, with the power that came from on high. And there was a little black man that in those days he was not allowed into the class. He had to sit in the hallway outside. And he received the baptism of the Holy Spirit outside in that hallway. And after the class was over and he had graduated, he went Los Angeles. He was seeking a place to minister, and he found a little deserted church on Azusa Street. And he began to teach and preach in that little church, and the Holy Spirit broke out upon those people. This was the latter rain. The Holy Spirit came and it fell upon those people, and they tell me that you could walk by the building across the street and feel the very power of God in that building. Hallelujah. People, we have walked away from the latter rain. We stopped seeking God and seeking the Holy Spirit in our life. Hallelujah. He said, you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you will be witness of me in Wichita and in Sedgwick County and in Kansas and all over the United States, around the world. Not by our power, but by the power of the Holy Ghost. Glory to God. Shandapa Otai. Hallelujah. God is so good. That's not even my sermon. I haven't even touched my note. I want to tell you, people, we need to seek for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. In 1956, I had been saved in a First Baptist church in Amarillo, Texas, Southern Baptist. I was hard shell. And I'm not picking on the Baptists because I love them. They went and got me. They brought me to the altar, and I received Christ. And so I love them. But when I got the baptism of the Holy Spirit, they didn't want me anymore. And so I enrolled in Bible school I'm getting ahead of my story. Before I enrolled in Bible school, I went to work for the state of Kansas. I was in Bonner Springs working. And my dad was in revival in Borger, Texas, and he come to get me. And he took me to Borger, Texas, the First Assembly of God Church. Now I'm a little Baptist boy, and I'm in this Assembly of God Church. People were speaking in tongues. People were being healed. People were being slain in the Spirit. I could feel the Spirit of God, but I wasn't going to do the things that those people did. I'm not going to show excitement. Listen, you're not supposed to do that in church. You're supposed to sit here all proper and not make any noise, not do anything to cause somebody to look at you. You keep your knees together and your hands folded in your lap. And I said, God, I want this thing if it's of you. We went 3 weeks in that revival, and I did not receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit until I said, I'm not going to eat until you give me the baptism of the Holy Spirit. God liked to starve me to death. But on the last day of that revival, I was sitting here on this pew, not this pew, but on the front pew. And I was praying, God, I want the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I don't know when it happened. I don't know how it happened. But the next thing I knew, I was on my back, laying underneath the altar, speaking in an unknown tongue to the extent of my voice. I was shouting so loud, I think they could probably hear me down the block. And I've never been the same. You need to seek the baptism in the Holy Spirit. It's not salvation. You're never more saved than you are when you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. As many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even as many as believe on His name. So you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. What do you mean by personal Savior? He's mine. He's yours. He's yours. He's yours. He's yours. Anyone who accepts Christ becomes a son of God. The Holy Spirit, according to Romans 8, bears witness with our spirit that we are the sons of God. And if we're children of God, then we're heirs and joint heirs with Christ Jesus. If so be that we dwell together, suffer together with Him, that we may be also glorified. What am I saying? I'm saying that I'm born again. I'm on fire for God. I'm saved. But there's more. There's more. Right, sister? There's more. I love this sister. I watch her pray. She is an inspiration to me. Just blesses my heart when I see her and get in the Spirit of God. God is so good. God is so good. I'm going to get off of that for a little bit. But that's the latter rain. That's what Zechariah was talking about, the latter rain. Zechariah cried, "The Lord shall make bright clouds." At times we grow concerned with the things in our life, and we wonder if this is right or if that's right. But remember, if the clouds are bright, God made them that way. And if we are His, we have no worries. And so as we go through this life, and yeah, I changed horses from the Holy Spirit, but I just had to say that. I had to preach it. But as we go through this life, God gives the latter rains upon us, the blessings of God upon us. There was a young man named Dathan and another one named Abiram in the book of Genesis, and they went to Moses and they said, "Moses, we don't like it here in Cana. We like it in Egypt. It was a land flowing with milk and honey." They did not realize that God had led them into the promised land, and they began to complain. God was bringing them into the place that He wanted them to be. They had rain, but they weren't thinking about it. Today, God still sends spiritual showers. Today, God still rains upon His people, refreshes His people, refreshes His church. People, we need to get serious with God. It's not a game that we're playing. It's not just going to church. You know, we come to church and we sit. Betty and I were talking about this today. We come to church and we sit and we listen to the sermon. It's a good sermon. We've got one of the best pastors, preachers that I've ever known. It's a good sermon. And then we go home, and by the time we get done with our noon meal, we've forgotten all about that sermon. We just don't take it to heart. We've got to stay in there and listen to what God has to say to us. One of the most startling truths about Christianity is that some folk have problems with faith. We marvel at the unbelief recorded in the scriptures. We see the disciples on the Sea of Galilee as the storm came on them, and they woke Jesus from sleep and they said, "Master, don't you care that we die?" And he woke up and he said, "O ye of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?" We respond to their lack of faith. We're saying, "Well, shame on them. They were with Christ. They should have been safe there. They should have trusted God. How could they possibly doubt him?" Then we look in the mirror and we ask ourselves the same question. It's human to doubt. It's a childlike attribute to trust God. It's human to doubt, but it's a childlike attribute to trust God. But I want to tell you, folks, a child will not trust anyone whom they do not know personally. What am I saying to you? If you want faith, if you want to grow closer to God, if you want to get involved with Jesus, you have to come to know him personally. On a one-on-one basis. You have to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. You must walk with him daily. Not just on Sunday. Not just on Wednesday night. But every night, every morning, all through the day, you need to be with Christ. Do you have to walk around praying? No. But you have to be in prayer. Being in prayer is communicating. When my wife that I love so dearly is, if I'm not with her, I'll call her and see what she's doing. I'll talk to her. When we're together, we can be together. We don't communicate, talk to one another all the time, but yet we communicate. This is what I'm talking to you about God. When you're walking with him, communicating with him. Christians will find it hard to trust God if they do not have a personal, intimate knowledge of Christ. You cannot say, "I know that I'm a Christian," until you can say, "I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day." Where and how do we obtain this kind of certainty? It's a revelation. It's a revelation from God. It's a spiritual awakening. It is God-given. It doesn't come from joining a church or repeating some vow or writing your name on a list. It comes from having that born-again experience with God. Being spiritually reborn is an experience of certainty. You know that Jesus Christ redeems your life. You know that he has washed away all your sins. And then you can trust Christ. Then you can know whom you believe. After the shower comes new life. After the rain falls on the earth, there comes new life. After God pours out his blessings on you, there comes new life. How do I know? Well, the Bible says so. And I know it's so because I've experienced it. I know it happens. The unbeliever says, "You Christians are just living in a dream world." Little girl was listening to a man give his testimony one day in a church. And somebody stood up back there and he said, "All you Christians are just dreamers." And that little girl jumped up and she said, "Mister, you see my daddy over there? He used to drink. He was a drunkard. And he would come home and he would beat up on my mama. And he would spend all of our money, and we didn't have clothes. We didn't have a lot of food." She said, I wore rags to go to church. But she said, "Look at me today. I have on a new dress. And see that lady sitting over there? That's my mama. Look at the big smile on her face. Because my daddy got saved. My daddy was born again. Now, mister, if you think he's dreaming, please don't wake him up. I like it the way it is." I want to tell you, God is good. God is good. If salvation is a dream, then I want to keep on dreaming. The dream gives victory over sin. The dream destroys the fear of death. The dream is better than anything the world offers. This world would be a better place if there were more spiritual dreamers in the world. I dream about heaven. You say, well, that's silly. No, it's not. It's my home. It's where I'm going. It's the thing that I want. When I go to sleep, it's on my mind. And when I sleep, it's on my mind. When I wake up, it's on my mind. I want to be with Jesus. I want to go there. I've told you so many times, I don't want to die, but I want to go to heaven. And if God chooses to have me die to get there, I say, all right, bring it on. Let's do it. I want to go to heaven when I die. Oh, precious Jesus, I'm butchering this sermon. I'm going from pillar to post, Dennis, but that's all right. I'm just telling you things that are on my mind. The writer of Hebrews says it this way. We have tasted of the heavenly gift, and we are made partakers of the Holy Ghost. And we have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come. Thank God. Thank God. This means that we have had an actual experience with God. This means that our God will supply our every need according to His riches in glory. His riches, underline His, not ours, His. He will supply all of our needs. I've never seen a Christian begging for food. I've seen them hungry, but God always supplies. God always takes care of them. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. John 5:12, he that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Paul prayed for this to happen at Ephesus. He prayed in Ephesians 1:18, the eyes of our understanding being enlightened, that we may know what is the hope of His calling and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance is in the saints. That's how you and I come to know Jesus. We gained a personal experience with God. We came because the Holy Spirit drew us. We came because we were called of God. Scripture said it's not that we love God, but that He loved us and gave His Son as a propitiation for your sins. I want to tell you tonight, I think that most of you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, if not all of you. But if you're here tonight and you don't know what I'm talking about, if you haven't experienced the rebirth, if you haven't experienced your sins being washed away by the blood of the Lamb, what can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. People don't like to hear about the blood, Dennis. But without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. People, we were under a death sentence, for the wages of sin is death. And everyone has sinned and come short of the glory of God. And because Christ shed His blood, Peter wrote these words. He said, for as much as we know that we're not saved by silver and gold and vain repetition, received by tradition from our fathers, but by the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without spot and without blemish. It's the blood of Christ that washes away our sins. Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly. And ye shall find rest in your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burdens light.
Thanks for joining us here at Souls Harbor Church. We hope you've enjoyed spending time with us and hearing the Word of God. We invite you to join us live for the service and be part of all that God is doing here at Souls Harbor. Be sure to check back each week for our latest message, and in the meantime, be blessed in Jesus' name.